Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
That SEC, they eat their young.
Yeah, they do. Welcome to Monday. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. We're back at it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Moose there, as he was talking about in that context specifically, Kevin Sumlin out at A&M after an 8-win season. Nebraska in full search mode right now. That's the word from the press conference on Saturday. You had a relatively quiet Sunday in Central Florida in Scott Frost in front of the microphones today. We'll get to that in a minute as he gets ready for Memphis and lots of Nebraska questions to Mr. Scott Frost today. We'll talk about that. Can join us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line, Shilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can email me, Chris at HailVarsity.com, on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt underscore Radio. You want premium content, you want message board goodness, you want inside info, yet the Cyber Monday special going on with HailVarsity.com. Can get signed up for 30 days for just a buck. Take advantage of that. Danny, the pride of Chicago, Burke, is doing that as we speak. So we have a lot to get into, and the coaching carousel is spinning and spinning and spinning, and some of those dominoes have fallen. Chip Kelly, obviously, now to UCLA. Dan Mullen to Florida. And things look good for Nebraska to lock up Frost. Some of us believe that's already done. We'll expand on that on the program in about 15 minutes. We'll get caught up with Husker standout and NFLer Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, at about 4:25 today. In hour two, we'll run down Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, get his take on the Mike Riley era, get his take on Scott Frost, and get his thoughts on, you know, what Nebraska football needs next. There's a long list of things, and Coach McBride will jump in there with us. I'm hoping he had a great turkey day. Also, an hour or two, the pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports, part of Nebraska football during the Scott Frost era. Bill Dolman going to be with us as we try to get caught up with Bill, get his thoughts on how things are moving. That around 5:25. Again, can get in touch with us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Plenty of thoughts on the Riley era. We covered a lot of that on Saturday with our special show here in Lincoln that went from around 7A to about 4 in the afternoon. We thank you for spending time and jumping on with us as news was breaking, as news was happening with Bill Moose. Some comments from Bill Moose we'll have back for you, and really thoughts on just what is going to go down here with some of the coaching jobs that are open and what's going to happen next for Nebraska football. At least I'm confident what will happen next. And let's spend a second on that. The next move for Nebraska football is what? Is to announce the hiring of Scott Frost. When will that happen? How patient will you be for that to happen? Those are the things that are next, right? And there's just some things you can't rush. Steak, for one. Pregnancy, another. Okay? You just got to let them kind of happen. Let the steak rest when you're done off the grill. Let mama have that beautiful little boy or girl. I mean, you know, it's when Carson was being born and the labor was going on, I didn't say, hey, you know, A&M and Nebraska kick off here in 4 hours. Can we move this thing along? No, you just let it happen. And as a Nebraska fan base, I think you get that. I think you're excited for what's next. I think you're very, very energized for what you think is going to be next. But you just got to stay patient with it. And I think you know that, but it's hard to wait as well. And just some thoughts here to share with you. And this specifically from Ryan Bass of CBS Sports in Tampa, Central Florida grad. He's been all over Central Florida. We've talked about some of his tweets. We've shared some of his audio. And, you know, the reality has sunk in right now with Central Florida and knowing Scott Frost has got one foot out the door. He does. And he's going to do his best to be the coach for Central Florida because he is the coach for Central Florida right now. And he wants these kids to be undefeated. He wants this team to play for not only an AAC championship, they're doing that. He wants to win one for them and with them. And then he wants this team to get a crack at a big dog, a real big opponent, probably in the Peach Bowl for the New Year's Six. He won't be around to see that follow through in all likelihood, but he's put him in position for an amazing turnaround, an amazing two-year story, and much-deserved national recognition on the college football landscape. He himself is the center of the college football world right now in a positive sense with just how coveted and how sought after he's been and the turnaround and the job he's done. The other side of the college football world, hell, is Tennessee right now. And just what type of joke they have in administration and in leadership and in trying to make everybody happy, and then they're extremely reactionary. So we'll spend a few minutes on that. But back to Frost and what Ryan Bass has been reporting, that the staff at Central Florida, many are physically getting ready to move to Nebraska. There's been a contract extension with a nice raise on Scott's desk per Mr. Bass for at least 3 weeks. So there's been no clarification, no statement that says, I am here at Central Florida for X number of years. And there's been no move to sign and follow through with that. It is over. It is done. It is Nebraska that beat out Florida for Scott Frost. It is Nebraska that beat out Central Florida for Scott Frost. It is Nebraska who beat out Florida. I mean, think of all the teams that were interested in Scott Frost. Nebraska will have him. Is that official from the university? No. But the only thing that's not been said is yes publicly by Scott Frost. This thing's as good as gold, as good as done. And forget Joe Namath against the Colts from an upset standpoint. If this doesn't happen, this triples that. It's how good I feel. People I've talked to, that's how good I think Bill Moose has to feel without coming out and saying it, because he's being respectful of where Nebraska is and, more importantly, where Scott Frost and his team's at. So Scott Frost today asked about the Nebraska rumors, the Nebraska job, and here's his response to that here, as he had a media session earlier today.
I'm not going to say much. I can't tell you how much I care about these players. And that's going to be, it's been true in my past. It's going to be true every year that I'm coaching. And our entire staff is that way. These guys are special. And they deserve my best. I've said that all year. They deserve our coaching staff's best. Every year in college football, there's tough decisions to make, and those kind of things happen. And when the time's right, we'll make them. I know it would be really hard to leave this team because of how much love I have for this group of guys and how much effort they've given us. So all I'm going to do is go back to my office and watch more film. And this shouldn't be about me. I know the questions are going to come, but these guys have earned the right to have the conversation be about them and about the game they won on Friday and the game they're going to play this Saturday. And this shouldn't be about me or the future or anything else. It should be about this group of kids.
Good for Frost. Dan Wolkin, his tweet yesterday. Frost going back and forth on a meeting with Florida this weekend, decided not to pursue the job. Florida was on to their third candidate. Dan Mullen's where they settled. Chip Kelly, no. That blew me away. I thought he was going to Florida. He's at UCLA. Scott Frost, no. They get Dan Mullen. Good call. Good coach. Familiar coach. It'll work out okay, or you hope it will if you're a Florida fan or you want Florida back in the high levels of college football. But no, Frost did not pursue that. His name was linked to it, but he didn't pursue it. Lee Barfnecht is down in Orlando. He's been down there as Nebraska's been playing in the tournament down there in Disneyland or World. I forget what it's called, but a nice win over Long Beach kind of got me sweating a bit towards the end. His 20 points turned into a 5-point win, but you'll take it. We'll spend more time this week on the upcoming Boston College game. But Lee asking a question to Frost today at the media session regarding, you know, what's it been like the last 20 years here, your program, since you won a national championship? Has that been messing with you at all? And I don't have the exact question, but that's a paraphrase of it. And here's Scott's response.
I've been doing my thing. I'm doing my thing here. You know, I'm a loyal guy, and I'm loyal to my family, and I'm loyal to people that care about me. I'm loyal to this coaching staff. I'm loyal to these kids. You know, I'm loyal to my alma mater, but I'm more loyal to the people that I'm going to battle with every day. And that's been at Kansas State and Northern Iowa and Oregon and here. And right now, my loyalties lie with these players.
Good for him. Now, there's a report out there on a TV station in Omaha showing up at Frost's parents' house. I saw that this morning on social media. I have not physically seen a report by an Omaha TV station that they came knocking on Grandma and Grandpa's door. But here, he was asked about that today as well.
There was a camera crew staked out your parents' house. What do you think about that?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
But that makes me mad.
That makes me mad. It wasn't a great clear audio, but the look in his eyes when he said that, when it was asked to him, it's like you were trying to stop him from scoring on an option keep. He wasn't good with that. So there's a lot of rumors floating around. We'll get some insight from Jay Moore on what is next for Nebraska football and what Jay believes about Scott. And you bump into some people, and you bump into people you trust that are intertwined and locked into the university. And here's what I believe. I believe that a decision was made to do the Nebraska job by Scott Frost. I believe that everything is in place to be executed from a legal paperwork and transitional standpoint. And the most important thing to Scott Frost right now is to go undefeated and win a conference championship and set this team and his kids up for the best they can do this year, which is finish undefeated and finish in the top 10 and take down a big dog in the New Year's Day 6 Peach Bowl. I mean, they had a wear-out game against South Florida that was incredible. You have to beat Memphis a second time. You destroyed them the first time. Hard as all get out to beat somebody twice in the same year in college football. And then you add to the fact it's a conference championship game. You had a kid. Your alma mater's coming. There's reports out there that T.O.'s got to take phone calls yesterday. Hey, Football Scoop says you made a phone call to Scotty on Saturday and says, it's time to come home, son. Now, Tom says, no, I did not. And I believe Coach Osborne when he says, no, I would not do that. Okay? I believe that. He has also said, though, that, you know what, we've been in contact. I'm sure there's more than enough advice Scott has reached out to Tom for when it comes to jacking with an undefeated season, dealing with distractions. That's his guys, Coach Osborne. That's his right-hand man. But, I mean, this is just Monday. This weekend was insane with Tennessee and who's going where. And Florida, you got turned down again. kind of funny. And then there's Nebraska with their athletic director, with Bill Moose, and with how many guys Nick Saban has put out of business in the SEC since he started. If you're counting, there's been 28 coaching changes. Just saying. I think Scott's reaching out to folks to finalize his staff. I think he'll move folks here. And his staff that has been put together down at Central Florida has done a really good job. And I think Nebraska is going to be in an amazing spot. And from a acceptance and an announcement standpoint, a formal acceptance slash announcement, I would put down Sunday of this upcoming weekend or Monday with a presser Monday or Tuesday. That's just how it's going to work. Scott's going to put all the energy and expertise he has into one more rodeo Saturday at 11 o'clock Central that kicks off for the AAC Championship. What do you believe? Do you believe it's a done deal? Do you believe Scott Frost is locked in as the next Nebraska head coach? Or is Nebraska still searching? I think it's done. I think you can feel good about the future of Nebraska football. We'll talk to Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. As Jay Moore with us next, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I've never said I was going after Scott Frost. A lot of other people have. And I can let you read my emails sometime that I should be going after Scott Frost.
Bill Moose. Great to have you back on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Log on HailVarsity.com and Cyber Monday special, 30 days of premium content. That's message board. That's inside columns and commentary. Just a dollar. You can log on HailVarsity.com. Welcome in, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44 on Twitter. Bird, happy belated Thanksgiving. Hope it was great for your family. How much did you eat? What do you know?
I ate a lot. I ate so much that I really didn't eat dinner Thursday evening. I think I had like two separate desserts. Like I had the full meal with dessert, then I had like the second dessert a couple hours later. So I guess that could be my dinner, but I put it down, that's for sure. And it was good. And I hope your crew was all good, and happy belated Thanksgiving to you and Danny as well.
Appreciate it, brother. No, it was all good. We'll get your thoughts on 100 different things here, but you know Scott, and I'm not saying you've had any conversations with Scott, but if you know you're walking along and Scott Frost is walking along, he'll say, "Hey Jay, what's up? How are you?" Is that fair to describe your guys's relationship? Or
I would think so. I haven't seen him in, oh gosh, it's been a while.
You guys have probably swung the clubs together.
Yeah, a few times. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I won't get into who won. I mean, so what do you believe is going on right now? Is there any air quote search that still exists, or is this thing finished, done? We're just waiting on the announcement.
I'm pretty sure it's finished, done, just waiting. I think he's just being respectful. You know, Moose and Scott himself is just being respectful to UCF and understanding that he's still going to coach for, he has one more game to get these guys ready for to go play against Memphis in the American Conference Championship on Saturday. I think it's just part of the deal, but I mean, I think this deal's been done for about the last 3 weeks, to my understanding. I just think they're just doing, you know, they're handling business the right way, the way it should be. It's kind of funny if you see all the stuff that Tennessee's been through yesterday, and Florida kind of going through some search. They got their guy anyways, but tell you what, the way that this has gone, you know, with how Riley handled himself, and then with Moose and everything, it tell you what, it makes you appreciate the effort and everything that's gone through. But I just think Moose is just being very respectful to UCF and to Scott and everything. I mean, this thing's been done. It's just, you know, wait, you know, 6 more days and, you know, the announcement will be made. Hell, it might even be made Saturday evening after their game's done. I don't know. But, Scott Frost, I'm pretty, I'm pretty comfortable saying Scott Frost will be the next head coach of the University of Nebraska, and I'm very excited about it.
Jay Moore's with us, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Jay, let's kind of turn our attention to Mike Riley for a second. What sticks out to you about Riley, good and also the unfortunate?
Yeah, I mean, the good is just the way he, you know, handles himself. He epitomizes class and you know, it's just the way he handled himself Saturday with the press conference. And then, you know, it's just he's just a nice guy. I mean, he's a great, genuine human being. I know he truly does care for his players, but in the end, he just didn't win enough football games. And unfortunately, he just didn't have that. His players didn't get with that play with that fire and that passion that you have to have to win at this type of level of football. And I don't know if that was, you know, his doing, or he just, you know, he couldn't be, you know, getting the same page as his coordinators and other coaches to get them to where they need to be. But obviously, they fell way short of where they, you know, wanted to be. And he realized that. He said it in the press conference. But I mean, but what sticks in my head is just the genuine great man he is. Just a couple of times I, you know, was able to talk with him for a brief second and meet with him You know, he was great. He was always, you know, open with me. He was always, hey, you know, come see us, come stop by, come say hi. You know, and that's always nice to have with a guy that, you know, I obviously didn't play for, and just, you know, just kind of ran into a couple times. So just unfortunately didn't get the job done, and that's just the nature of the business. You know, you got to produce, you got to have results. No matter if you're a nice guy or whatever, you got to produce, and he just wasn't able to produce the necessary results to get him another year.
Jay, what's your reaction to some of the guys, and I'm thinking of Lamar Jackson, Spielman, and Stanley Morgan Jr., taking to social media and just kind of, I don't want to say venting, but just kind of showing their loyalty to some of the guys they came to play for and wanted to play for? You've had to go through that. You've had to go through a coaching change. Any advice to kids that right now are feeling down because of the change?
Well, I mean, that's just life. Nothing's ever guaranteed. I tell you what, I Coach Solich recruited me. He was obviously fired, and when my time was there, and you know, I played my last 3 years with Callahan and John Blake. And hey, you tell you what, you know, things, I always say things happen for a reason. You know, it's always good to have other people introduced in your life. It's always, you know, being comfortable and being forced to change and having that challenge. That's good. That makes you stronger. That builds your character. And I just think right now they're young, immature, so they're unsure. They're unsure what to do, how to go about it. But this makes you a stronger, you know, a more mentally tough situation. Nothing's ever guaranteed, and things happen. Things happen for a reason. And I think I look at guys like Stanley and JD, and you look at what Frost is able to do with his offense and down at Central Florida. I mean, those guys are just flourish in this type of offense. So I just think they need to take time and really process and digest it and talk with, you know, with whoever might be coming up on the staff and things like that. But there's, you know, a lot. It's a lot. I mean, you know, I committed to play for the University of Nebraska. You know, whether it's Frank Solich or Bill Callahan, I don't know. I was coming to play for Nebraska. Some guys have a different view. You're coming to play for a coach. You have that relationship. You have that bond. I get it. That wasn't a huge concern to me. I mean, wasn't really that impressed with Nelson Barnes, who's my position coach, and I committed to Nebraska. I didn't care. I wanted to play for Nebraska. So I understand both sides of it, but I just think they need to take their time and realize that they're going to be better from this and trust the process.
When you look at Moose here and Scott's not his main target, I don't think Bill Moose is the type of guy that would be influenced solely by the fan base, a la Tennessee, saying, we were just joking with you, Greg Schiano, right, and the contract, even though we both signed it. Kidding. So you look at this target of Frost, do you believe he is the top target because he has to be, or because you think he's the best candidate?
No, I think he was top target from all along. I think Moose has a real understanding of this fan base. He heard in this press conference, he thinks this fan base is fragile, mm-hmm. And was splitting a little bit. He needed to unite it again. And I think the only way you're going to honestly get that done was to bring a guy who's won a national championship for you under Tom Osborne. And I just, I got to imagine that was priority number one on his list. And I don't think it was necessarily a home run, a slam dunk type of guarantee when he has on a sheet, because obviously, whether the Floridas and the Tennessees and the A&Ms and all these major programs with a lot of money can invest in a coach like that, it wasn't a guarantee. But you reiterate to whoever it is, to Scott, or this is a special place, and there's only one guy out there who's been a part of it as a player, that is now a candidate to coach here, that understands this place as great as best as anyone out there. So I do believe that this is the number one get. I think you're doing yourself you weren't doing yourself well if you're if you didn't ask around, mm-hmm. check other coaches like the Chips, the Dan Mullins, the Matt Campbells, the Justin Fuentes, the names you might have heard. You got to do that just in case. You always have to have a plan B, C, and D nowadays, especially in this business. Now we see how crazy the carousel is, but I truly believe this was, Frost was the number one guy all along, and he was, and Moose was going to do his best to make sure he brings him back here.
Jay, I want to leave you with this and get your take here. How jacked is the football program right now for not just Scott Frost, not just coach named X? How messy is it right now to come in? Or is it set up from a personnel standpoint and an ability standpoint, and it just needs to be a confidence type deal? How far away is the program from challenging for a division title or beyond?
I think it's probably a couple, in my opinion. This program needs some juice.
Okay.
These kids need some juice. I think that the talent to win the West is definitely there. I have no doubt that that's there. These kids gotta want it, and you gotta want to go out and play. And this program needs some juice and some fire and some energy. So those kids just don't play with it flat out. I mean, there's nothing there. They're out there just because they kind of have to be. And if someone said, "Hey, you have the option to maybe, go do something else," I wouldn't be surprised if they said, "Hey, I'll go sit this one out," just because that's how I see it. That's their mentality. You can just see it when they play other teams. You saw the physicality, the want to of Iowa. You just don't see that with Nebraska or whoever it was this year. These kids need an eye-opening experience, and they need to realize what a great situation they're in, and to capitalize on these opportunities that are presented to them in the next year or two or whatever it may be. This program needs the juice. It needs the fire. I think a young staff, which Frost will bring in, will be more than capable of doing that. You got to get them going. And you need the energy, you need the passion, you need the fight, you need the grit, you need the mental toughness, all that. All that needs to be installed back into these guys, because they don't have it right now. And I just don't think that happens next year. I think you'll see, year two, year three. And let's be honest, if you look at the quarterbacks on the roster, I don't know who can maybe even, do what Milton's doing down there for Central Florida right now. Maybe a Jebbia. No, Pelia's little mobile. I don't know what JUCOs are out there potentially, but I think that's the situation as well. But let's be honest, you got to play physical up front on both sides. Got to get some fight. Got to get some mental toughness. Got to get some grit. That's going to take a couple of years.
Jay Moore, awesome stuff, Bird. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for your insight today.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, guys.
There is Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio. As we'll get caught up with Coach McBride, Bill Dolman, and your thoughts as Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
I did feel because I know this will come up, that our fan base, our storied fan base, is fractured and fragile, and that's very concerning to me. These fans have been through a lot over the last 20 years. They and the university and certainly the players and all involved, in my opinion, deserve to be in a position to be back competing for championships in the Big Ten Conference and nationally.
That is Bill Moose. Fractured fan base, so you wore out. I think that answer is yes. Can you get made whole again by a guy like Scott Frost? That's the hope. And we'll see. Let's go to Brian. I think I got an answer for Brian. Brian had a non-football related question. Brian, welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So I got to come to Omaha for my son to he has to have an operation done at Children's, and he's wanting some lip smacking barbecue, and I'm not from the area, but I was just looking for insight on that. But I also want to comment on Riley and what I think went wrong with him.
Sure.
He just I watched the guy for 3 years, and I was on his side. I didn't understand the hire in the first place. I mean, a guy that went 8-4 at Oregon State, and that's the best he did. But anyway, side note, I just think he focused too much on skill guys and didn't go to the offensive defensive line. You can have a 5-star line and have a 2-star freaking running back and still do well.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have a 2-star line and a 5-star running back. This just doesn't happen in the Big Ten, or even in Scott Frost's era, the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
Both are, you know, we're going to smash you in the mouth and take your lunch. And he just he also didn't develop guys.
No, and I think that's the biggest issue is, for some reason, the development phase of things was just missed and not consistent with, because he developed and he coached well at Oregon State. I mean, they weren't great every year, but there were some years there where he had talent that kept trucking along, and he had some consecutive seasons put together where he'd lose guys and they'd kind of, for them, reload. You know what I mean? But that level was 7-5, 8-4, 9-4 type deal. No, I just think the development was the issue. And the lines of scrimmage, it just did not translate. Style and management style didn't translate from the West Coast to what you need in the Big Ten. Brian, best wishes to your little guy, okay?
And thank you.
Tired Texan, and this is a Greg Smith recommendation, and Greg Smith is a stud at barbecue. So Tired Texan is what you need to look at in Omaha.
All right, we were going to settle with Famous Dave's, but that's too commercial.
Well, nothing against our friends from Famous. I won't turn down their ribs either. But
I know.
Tired Texans, where you go. And, brother, you take care, and prayers with your family, okay?
Thank you very much.
Take care, man. Thanks for listening, Brian. Appreciate you. So we got the Tired Texan recommendation from Greg, which is money. And Brian just unsolicited said, here's what I think went wrong with Mike Riley. And there's a lot of areas to start with, you know, why it didn't work out. And it was sad on Saturday to have that moment. Sad for a guy that wanted it to do well and gave it everything he had. It just didn't happen. And what a class act, what a stud Mike Riley is for how he's handled himself. And you hope he does well wherever he's at. And, you know, he was let go, and you wonder what's next. You know, Trent Bray is going to be your guy that's your interim. So from a recruiting standpoint, and Bill Moose was very upfront about the next coach will have flexibility to do whatever the heck he wants with his staff. He's not going to make the next guy coming in keep dudes. But you wonder if Keith Williams is a guy that will get a look and a listen. I think Trent Bray's a guy that'll get a look and listen just because of what he's being asked to do now. You need some sort of connection to the players through the a person currently on staff. And even with Mike Riley, I mean, this is straight up pipe dream here, but he's such a good dude, and he does know football, that a liaison role would have been cool. Now, that's a big ask. Hey, you're not good enough to be head coach here. Your record's brutal. You don't win big games, but damn it, you're awesome with people, and we love you still. How about you hang around the offices and do some recruiting type stuff? I mean, that'd be really cool, but give the guy his buyout, let him go do his own thing and say, thanks, sorry, it didn't work out. And that's what happened. And for Riley to spend time like he did with the media and have a press conference that you're firing, I mean, it's hard feelings in the instance that, man, this is just hard to take. It didn't work out. You don't like to fail. But there's no hard feelings for the effort given. And you just move on. We'll spend some more time on Bill Moos here and get some thoughts from Charlie McBride here momentarily. So let's get into that fit here, cut four. And a lot of what Scott Frost does, to me, matches up and sounds a lot like what Bill Moos has kind of carved out to what he wants with the next head coach in Nebraska football.
Well, we talk about fit. This is a unique place at Nebraska, and the right fit, first of all, has to have somebody with tremendous morals, a good teacher, a good mentor, someone who is competitive, and preferably has head coaching experience in major college football. I think those are the kind of people that we can attract, and certainly that's what we're going to target.
And you've got a big target on Frost. Back to Riley, when it comes to that tipping point moment when you know it ain't going to work out, when you're convinced it's time, part of your evaluation has that uh-oh moment where, man, I saw this. This is how it went. We've got to go another direction. It was the Minnesota game.
I didn't feel good after the Minnesota game, but that was kind of in conjunction with other things that I like to look at in regards to how the players themselves are progressing. Again, Mike Riley and his people do a marvelous job. It just got started going the wrong way. And when that happens, you have to fight factors like morale problems, injuries, some of these things that you've noticed as you've covered the games. And even culture. And those are all fixable, but you add them all up and it usually does not show well on the scoreboard.
I mean, a monster accumulation of, you have the injuries going on, so how's your depth? What's your development like? Culture? Are guys fired up and ready to persevere? I mean, it all snowballed down. We'll wind down hour one here on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-377-6800, 825-5865, and also on email, chris@hailvarsity.com. Don't forget, 30 days of premium content for just $1, Cyber Monday special with hailvarsity.com. Get signed up now.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
I had people talk to Chip. He's a good football coach, and he needs to be coaching. He's been out of it for a year, and he looks like he's choking to death with that necktie on ESPN. So I'm sure he wants to get back to the visor and the short sleeve windbreaker.
He's in it as the press conference in Westwood earlier today. Bill Moos, great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Coach McBride, 10 minutes away. Get his thoughts on Coach Riley, on Nebraska's next move, on Bill Moos, on how much turkey Coach McBride and Jared Tomich ate. So, yeah, it's going to be a good segment here in about 10 minutes. The Pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports, part of the Tom Osborne Show, and covered Nebraska football for a long time during the Frost era. Bill Dolman coming up at 5:25. Got a tweet in from Sean asking the question here. Does the potential opening at Florida State make you nervous on Frost to NU? And Sean, thanks for the tweet at @Schmidt_radio. Listen, I think the dominoes were these, okay? One, You had Chip Kelly floating around there. Where's Chip go? Because he's everyone's number one, or a lot of people's number one. Where's Chip go? And the other part of that domino was Florida, the Florida job, because you heard Scott's name first associated a lot, not locally, but just nationally with Florida. So what's happened? Well, Chip ended up not going to Florida, so Florida was still open. Chip went back to the Pac-12, and you have the Florida gig that's now taken. And how far down the list in that top right drawer of the AD was Mullen? Probably not very far. He's probably behind Frost, and he's behind Chip Kelly. So the FSU opening, if Jimbo leaves for A&M, do the Seminoles go after Scott Frost at the 12th hour? I don't think so. I think they go after Charlie Strong. I think they look at Taggart to get him back in South Florida. But I believe this thing's already done. It just needs to be announced, which is good, because if Oregon's coming into the party with Uncle Phil and Scott Frost has a chance to go to Oregon, that's not a good situation. That's another fight. Right? Reports, Frosty said, I'm not interested in discussing anything with you at Florida. Means he's got his mind made up. Either he's staying or he's coming to Nebraska. Let's go to Earl real quick. We'll squeeze Earl in here about a minute. Earl, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was listening to the Bill Moose press conference over the weekend. I found one of the things that were really quite interesting and also exciting at the same time was when he mentioned about the players' morale and then also the way they wear the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought that was interesting in the fact that he is so detailed into his job that even the way a player may wear the uniform makes a big difference in how their performance is on the field.
I think it's about self-respect and having enough respect to wear it either appropriately or in a prideful way. I think that's more the insinuation is my thought.
Yeah, I could see that too, and also, being a team, you guys want to be, I'm not saying like a robotic sense, but like a well-oiled machine, how they used to be in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody dressed the same, looked the same, had the same mentality. But when you have people dressing differently, choosing different socks, you're not all on the same page about stuff.
No, details matter. Earl, thank you for tuning in. We're up against a Sports Center break. Give us a shout back anytime. Appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, it's kind of one common goal, isn't it? Everyone's in lockstep. Coach McBride up next, hour two on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More thoughts from Bill Moose this hour. You heard Scott Frost's comments earlier in the show. And can find us on the ESPN Lincoln app across the Hail Varsity Radio network. We love doing this on Mondays. This time of night, a little bit after 5, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach, I hope Thanksgiving was good. How are you?
Oh, it's great. I think it's spring is coming back.
Doesn't it feel like it a bit? It was pretty good the last few days.
Well, we're surviving, let's put it that way.
Well, and I got it. Before we get into the weekend of football, how much turkey? Did you eat more turkey than Tomich, or did Tomich take down most of the bird?
Well, when you see 25 turkeys cooking, you get hungry.
Oh, wow.
And then plus some pheasants and some chickens and some all on one big grill, one on one big.
Really?
Something. Yeah, it was quite a deal. And people picked them up within 2 hours. They picked them up, and that was it.
I didn't think I could be hungry after Thursday, but you're getting me there. So, Coach, a thought here on Coach Riley, his staff, and just kind of how Saturday went. Coach Riley extremely, very, very classy to say goodbye and take some questions. And I don't really know where the whole staff stuff is at. I know that Trent Bray is kind of the acting interim head coach right now. But what are your thoughts on the Mike Riley era?
Well, I think it just, you know, it got to a point where, you know, the things were, same things were happening week after week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it wasn't only just the last four games or so, but I just got the feeling that, you know, they really wanted to run the ball, but they didn't want to run the ball.
Coach, you still there, bud?
Still there, bud.
Let's try reconnecting with Coach. All right. We'll try and get Coach McBride back. So he'll expand a little bit further. Is he still with us, Danny? No? We dropped him? Okay. We'll reset with Coach McBride. Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio. Love talking with Coach, get his thoughts on the Riley era, and Scott Frost and the Tennessee mess that's going on. Bill Dolman is coming up here in about 20 minutes as well. Don't forget Cyber Monday special, HailVarsity.com. Get locked in with all of our premium content for just a buck. You can log on, get signed up, HailVarsity.com. Let you do that for Cyber Monday. So in hour one, we spent plenty of time talking about, you know, is this going to happen or not with Frost? And we feel like it's probably a done deal. We have Coach McBride back. Coach, we lost you, and you were starting to talk a little bit about Mike Riley and his kind of reflecting on the Riley era. Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things is you know, I think from the beginning, you know, I think running was in their mind, but I think they're a passing team. I think the offensive line coach is good at probably teaching pass blocking and things like that. But when it came to the run blocking and things like that, there wasn't much sophistication in what they were doing. They did a few things, but, you know, it wasn't really what you'd call a running game. I think you have to do a lot of different things, and you know, in the running game. And I always said, you know, if you wanted to be simple on what you ought to do, you ought to have a dive. You ought to have a dive, play action, pass off of it, and a reverse off of it. So, you know,
right.
You know, a lot of those things, you know, they did a lot of those things. But, you know, it was just fundamentally it wasn't holding up.
What's next for Coach Perella, do you think?
I don't know. I put a call into John today and didn't get an answer. So I don't know. I know that, you know, he's pretty tough guy. And, you know, I think that he's got real lot of support from his family. And that's what I think is holding John. You know, he's in a state where he's familiar. It's not like he's caught somewhere in Connecticut or, you know, and so I think he's a little more comfortable right now. Whether he's kept, that's just up to whoever gets
sure.
the job. And they usually interview all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, my feeling, you know, it's important that you have a guy from the state, even if you say, hey, John, you've got the whole state yourself, you know, and then go out and see some defensive linemen, you know, and things like that, which can be done. I did it with Cletus. I went on a couple of trips with Cletus to see offensive linemen and stuff like that. But he really kept the whole state surrounded.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, have you had a chance to follow along, not just this last weekend, but into this week as things start up with Scott Frost and what's going on? That's the way the wind is blowing here. And what's your reaction to this anticipation that it's really his job?
Well, it's what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to throw his kids under the bus.
Right.
I mean, it, you know, you just can't do that. And there's been coaches do that, and that has been well received by other coaches in the country. And you know, I don't think you want to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's whether you know he comes or not. I think that there is a serious a feeling there toward Nebraska. I think both his folks are there, and
mm-hmm.
she's from Phoenix, I believe, out where I came from, and. You know, and so it's not like she was born and raised in Florida or something like that. So, you know, and Scott's been on the West Coast, and, you know, and that would help with recruiting also. But, you know, I think he's more familiar with the real 500-mile radius, you know.
I bet you're right.
But anyway, that would be, you know, but you know, he has coaches that are loyal to him, and that's where the problems come in a lot of times. But there's also a coach that might be there that might be the next head coach there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't know how that all turns out. And but there's a lot of, you know, there was a guy that I know very, very well I was just thinking the other day, I can't believe his name didn't come up, but Dave Doran, who's over at North Carolina State, is from Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to work our camp, and, you know, I've been in touch with him all through his career. He went to Drake when they started football again, and then he went to SC as a graduate assistant. And then he went up to Montana, won a national championship up there with Joe Glenn. And then he went to KU and went to Wisconsin as the secondary coach and then the defensive coordinator. And, of course, then at Northern Illinois, where he really tore up the joint. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's one of those guys that really, really, he'd be well received. But nobody, he just kind of, they came up with the best year that they've ever had at North Carolina State this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I saw that in the paper. So, unless the guy lied.
Right.
But, you know, there's a bunch of people out there, but I really think that, you know, even when I was recruiting, I could feel as I got older, maybe I didn't communicate as good with the kids. Mm-hmm. And when I went out and recruited them, and, you know, it's just the feeling you get. And I think that young, having some young guys in there, you know, is really, really important to the program.
Absolutely. What sticks out to you about Scott when, I mean, your defenses were going against him either when it was live time and it was coach run it again, or it was he was the scout team guy transferring, you know, when he transferred in and had to sit out. What sticks out most about Scott to you?
Well, the thing was, is he's a tough dude now. You know, you can bang him around, and he's one of those durable guys that, you know, doesn't get hurt. But his competitiveness is probably, you know, his number one thing. And you don't see it in his personality. You know, he's relatively quiet. I mean, he doesn't say a lot, but when he says something, it means something. And I assume that's what, you know, the players are experiencing there, and he's a truthful guy. You know, he's been in the coaching business all his life with his dad coaching and all of those things, his mom and dad. So I think he knows some of the things that are no-nos and some of the things that you need to really work on, because it's easy to have a program fall down, but it's hard to have one built back up. And that's the big problem, I think, when whoever comes in, which, you know, I'm my vote is, you know what, but I just want one thing. I was, you know, thinking about it the other day about Scott. I said, the only thing about Scott is I'm glad we didn't have to play against him.
Right.
And I think that goes with coaching, too. I really do. I think he's, you know, he doesn't get excited. He gets excited, I'm sure, but he's a thinker and he's a listener. And but as far as practice goes, run it again. That's what I used to tell him. And then everybody would pray for their heads.
Right.
But he was really there, and I always told him they lost that game. We lost his first. I think it was the first game he started at Arizona State, and the fans were really, really loud. We couldn't audible anything, and he felt like he lost the game, you know, for Nebraska and all that stuff. And I said, no, you didn't. I said, we lost the game on defense because they scored.
Right.
And that's where it goes. I mean, you know, they don't score, they don't win. Mm. So, and we didn't play well. And it was just one of those games where I think all our players woke up a little bit and, you know, found out that they could really play better than that.
Coach, a thought here on for Nebraska here when there is a new coach in here. Tell me a little bit about not only getting this, why it's so important to get Nebraska kids, as many as you can, but also the development that do you believe does that have to happen at Nebraska? I mean, just the style of development at practice.
Well, you don't know how much Nebraska kids made our team come together. There were guys from the East Coast, West Coast, going out to farms and riding horses for the first time and seeing things going out and being with other families of players and stuff like that. And it really did bring our team together, I think, a lot of that kind of thing. And I think Nebraska players are at a point where if you're on the goal line, I think I'd rather have a Nebraska player, you know, because it means something to them more than anything. I mean, it means, you know, when you get somebody from no man's land or something, and not that they shouldn't get guys from there, but it's just the idea that if you have a bunch of guys from Nebraska that are around and leading kind of in their Nebraska way and proving that how hard of workers they are. And sometimes, you know, we had scholarship players that saw them, how hard the walk-ons were working. And I know some of them thought, I better get going or I'm going to lose my job. And that's kind of what it did to our program. The walk-on program pushed a lot of people. And as you know, there was an awful lot of them that walked on that turned out to be great players.
Yeah.
You know, his father actually recruited for us, but Jimmy and Toby Williams, and Jimmy ends up being a first-round draft choice out of Washington, D.C., and you know, so you get players from out of state as well as in state, and then you have Dean Steinkuhler from a town that has so few people. I don't even, you know, they have
Burr, Nebraska. Burr, Nebraska.
Yeah, Burr. And Milt asked him how many people, and he said 47.
But eight of them were linemen.
Yeah. But, you know, those are the guys that, you know, that really kind of are the heart of the team, and they're the guys that bring the team together.
Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, we'll catch up next week. We might have a new head coach by then. We really appreciate you, and best to you. We'll talk soon, sir.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me.
Coach,
have a good week.
You too.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye now.
There he is, Coach Charlie McBride with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Maybe you're just kind of still beaching on that couch or the living room floor because of how much you got after it on Turkey Day. Eating, desserts, calories. It's time to think about Madonna Proactive. Fitness and wellness goals can be achieved. Get back and in shape. 56th and Pine Lake is where Madonna Proactive is at. They offer individualized and personal training for you. Beginner, advanced, whatever your niche or your need, Madonna Proactive has that for you. Great selection of fitness equipment, advanced classes you can get to become a part of. If you're into yoga or you want to get into yoga, they have that. If you like to swim, three pools, including Lincoln's only aqua track. Fitness and wellness, get back in shape and fight off those holiday calories and pounds with Madonna Proactive. 402-420-0000. Take the tour. And to get signed up with an annual commitment, you'll pay nothing till January. Log on to MadonnaProactive.org, 56th and Pine Lake. Get down to Madonna Proactive right now and schedule that appointment. Bill Dolman on the way.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie, and his thoughts on Nebraska kids being pretty prominent in the program when the next head coach, whoever that may be, is here. We welcome in the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. We tried to connect with them on Black Friday. We fumbled that, but now we have secured the football and across the goal line. Bill Dolman with us, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D., hope you had a great Thanksgiving. How are you?
I'm doing well. I certainly missed you guys on Friday, and it wasn't for a lack of effort, but I had a good feeling about Nebraska winning that game on Friday. I'm really surprised at the outcome.
You're right.
That's what you're calling about now, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, 14-7, and it turns into 56-14. I mean, you just don't see those type. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, you do. You've had that type of year, that type of second half. I want to talk coaching carousel, Bill, because you've done a lot of work in athletics. You've covered a lot of programs. You do national work now with NBC, but you're also locked into Nebraska because of your time with Coach Osborne and Coach Frost, frankly, back in that 97 championship season. What do you believe right now? What does Bill Dolman believe in his heart is done? You listened and saw the press conference with Moose. You saw Riley be a stand-up dude on Saturday. And then you have reports. You have smoke. You have the Chip Kelly move that happened. You have Florida now with their head coach. What do you think is a reality right now between Scott Frost and Nebraska?
Well, first of all, I think Nebraska's in better shape than Tennessee, for one.
Yeah, well, we're going to give you about 3 minutes on Tennessee before we say goodbye.
You know, I wrote a brilliant post on Facebook yesterday, if I do say so myself. You know, look, I just don't believe that Scott Frost in Florida was really all that serious. So it didn't surprise me with the whole Dan Mullen. I mean, it just didn't seem like that would be a great fit. And so much of what we hear comes from people who are, you know, outside of the program, outside of the state of Nebraska, and don't understand what Nebraska is like, why it would be attractive to come home. They don't fully understand and appreciate who Tom Osborne was as a coach, who he is as a man, and how important he has been to the state and to the players who have played for him, and that would include Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. I don't believe for a minute that Tom picked up the phone and said, it's time to come home. That sounds like the old Bear Bryant line. Mm-hmm. You know, when mama calls, you got to go home. I just don't think that happened. I'm sure they've talked, and I'm sure Tom probably said, Scott, I think it would be a great opportunity. I think Nebraska would benefit from you, but you have to do what's best for you and your family at this time. And if Scott Frost believes that it's best for him to go back to Nebraska, then Scott Frost will go back to Nebraska. But I think it's in large part due to his loyalty and to Tom Osborne, and maybe not necessarily to the University of Nebraska or the state of Nebraska. Certainly there were, you know, there were some pretty contentious times many years ago. Mm-hmm. Scott certainly proved when he was a kid that he was his own man. And that he proved to be a man's man during his time at Nebraska when he had to withstand some pretty nasty stuff that, you know, some people saw publicly, others of us saw, you know, internally. But I also remember seeing, you know, those moments of, you know, Scott around Tom and that relationship. You know, Milt Tenneper, I know, had a very special fondness for Scott. So I think that there is definitely an emotional tie that would bring him back to Nebraska. And maybe it's also to a sense of loyalty to the players that he played with, that he was around in 96, 97 and whatnot, that, you know, there's a sense of loyalty to them as well, because I think we're all Facebook friends or see their posts. I think that there's a certain element there, mm-hmm, that would bring him back home. But I could also see Scott saying, you know what? I love Central Florida. I love what they've done for me. I love my players, and this is where I want to be for now. I personally believe that if he doesn't, or the biggest suitor for Scott Frost's heart is Oregon. And, you know, Willie Taggart's name comes up for every job in this SEC that's available or not. I'm sure his name's in the mix at Alabama. For some reason, Willie Taggart's name is all of a sudden come up as a contender for jobs. He's obviously not getting Florida now. He's not getting Mississippi.
Florida State might be open tomorrow.
Exactly. So Willie Taggart's name, now who's floating that? his representatives. I'm sure Scott doesn't have representatives, but Willie Taggart probably does. I could see Scott saying, you know what? I grew my wings as a duck. And that may be where he is most comfortable. He may say no to Nebraska now, and Willie Taggart leaves Oregon in a year or two, and that's where he ends up. That, to me, makes a lot more sense than Florida or Tennessee or any other job that might come open. Florida State, actually, with Scott Frost makes sense, more so than Florida. But to me, that would be one where that might be his Nebraska's home. Oregon might be his coaching home.
So you don't think anything's done then with Nebraska?
I would be surprised. Here's what I also think. Okay. That all these people who say it's a done deal, Chris Fowler and everybody else who's seen Scott's cable get hooked up in Lincoln and says it's a done deal, when the story finally comes out, it will not be anything to what anybody has. The process won't play out. Won't have played out the way everybody says it has. I'm sure that Bill Moose has done his due diligence and talked to Scott, probably talked to Larry and Carol, you know. But I believe in Bill Moose. I don't know him. I know of him. And I believe that Nebraska has the right guy in that chair for the first time, other than Tom Osborne. That Nebraska's got the right administration, I think, now. You don't have Harvey, Moe, and Curley running the show anymore. And I think that is another thing that's attractive to anybody who wants that job. They know the AD, and they believe in the administration. And that makes Nebraska, this whole stuff about they fire a coach for going 9-3. They fire two coaches for going 9-3. People on the outside just don't get the dynamics that were going on at the time. You know, the 4-year case of the flu and Frank didn't get along. That was a personal thing. You know, Sean and Harvey and Bo didn't get along. That was a personal thing. It's not that Nebraska goes out and fires 9-3 coaches willy-nilly because they don't understand the coaching profession. It's completely the opposite. People don't understand the dynamic of Nebraska and the dynamic of those relationships as to why those changes are made. Those players are no longer around, and I think you have adults in the room that know how to get the job done, and I think Scott or anybody else would see that the administration that Nebraska has now makes that job even more attractive. And 90,000 people showing up to watch a 4-win team at the end of the year was amazing, and that also makes the job attractive.
Wow.
Puts more pressure, but it makes it attractive.
Bill, a thought here on Tennessee, John Curry, and what type of playbook that dude used to get turned down by 4 or 5 name coaches and still be searching, and then the Schiano stuff.
Well, you know, I'm not a Schiano fan, I think that was probably a fairly decent hire for Tennessee, to be honest with you.
I think it was a really good hire.
But you can't let social media all of a sudden start dictating how you're going to operate your football program. And I can't believe that there were legions and thousands of people that were behind the petition to get him fired, or whatever the case, or to tear up the memorandum of understanding. That's a disaster. And that shows a lack of leadership, a lack of spine. If you bring him in, if he's your guy, you bring him in, you stand by him and say, this is where we're going to go, and in a couple of years, everything will be okay. And you might have one pissed-off booster, but for every bad booster, there's a Larry the Cable guy who's a good dude who will hang in there with the program and support it, and you'll be okay. I personally don't understand why they don't bring in David Cutcliffe. That to me
here's what's
going to
happen. They're going to bring in Phil Fulmer to replace Curry, and Fulmer's going to go get Cutcliffe out of Duke.
That could be. I don't understand why he didn't get the job a long time ago. But nevertheless, to me, that would have been a smart hire before Kiffin and before Butch Jones and whomever else they've tried Dooley. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, that guy doesn't get the gig. They've got a mess there. And they've got to turn that over to somebody who's going to make it okay, and they're going to have to be satisfied with mediocrity for a while and hurt feelings. But that's a bad deal, and this is one of the reasons why I'm glad Bill Moose is heading up whatever's going on at Nebraska. And Nebraska might end up with somebody if Scott says, no, I'm going to stay at Central Florida. We respect that. If he ends up at Oregon, we understand it. But Bill Moose is going to find somebody that's a quality football coach that, whether he's a big name or not, I know of some guys who have shown interest about in the position long before Sean Eichhorst got fired. That people would go, "Wow, that's great!" because that speaks to who Nebraska is. So I'm confident that that guy is going to get the right guy and that Nebraska will be onward and upward, because I don't think it can get much worse than it was on Friday. And Mike Riley's a wonderful guy, mm-hmm. and was terrific for Nebraska while he was there to turn things around and just to make us, I think, feel better about who we really are as a people. It brought out some bad stuff in people who were too critical, but I think Nebraska's a better place culturally for having Mike Riley as the head coach. Now it's time to build on that culture and build the program back up to where it needs to be and competitive in the Big Ten and not try to be competitive in the Pac-12 North.
Last thought here, Bill, 30 seconds. Husker basketball does what this year with Tim Miles?
Well, I think Tim Miles is pretty safe, because I don't think that...
I meant wins and losses with the roster.
I know, but
yeah.
I'm saying is, with all the money that's being paid out to former coaches, mm-hmm. I think if you go 17 and 16 or something, you got to be feeling pretty good. The way that team played the other day against Long Beach State,
yeah.
is that team, if they can shoot the ball, is going to win games in the Big Ten and be in the middle, if not the upper half.
Mm-hmm.
But if they shoot like they have done so many times and pull a St. John's every second or third game, it's going to be a dismal season at Nebraska. That's really the way it is. And I don't think it can be as bad as some of the moments last year. But if there's not market improvement, it's going to be a bad season. But I think it's a plus and above 500 team that has the potential to be sixth, maybe fifth in the Big Ten Conference. And that's pretty good. If they play the way they did it against Long Beach State, make shots, do the most simple thing in basketball, it's going to be okay. I think they've got some players.
Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, the pride of Fairbury, his thoughts on the Nebraska situation. Scott Frost, the coaching carousel. Billy D., it was great to catch up with you. We may knock on your door here relatively soon, pending the announcement, whenever that is. Thanks for the time today, brother.
Absolutely, and to all those people who tuned in to Ice Dancing at Skate America on NBC over the weekend, I thank you.
I thank you. Take care, Bill. There he is, Bill Dolman. Go see Rick Sauterhamen. Listen, they have an incredible offer going on, 0% interest financing through 2020. $99 down, $99 a month gets you one of those one-carat diamonds they have. Earthmine pure-grown diamonds, 12th and O downtown Lincoln or South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@halevarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Bill Dolman. Open phones till 6 right now. Can tap the line. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You heading out tonight? Little Monday Night Football action. Be sure you get that sober ride home. Make that sober choice. You get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time and be required to install that interlock device to your vehicle. So if you're making plans to get that sober ride home, remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We can talk a little carousel here. And Bill Moose just nailed it. And he answered questions on multiple candidates. You heard about Chip Kelly. UCLA, according to Football Scoop, had one candidate interview for the job, and it was Chip Kelly. It was Chip Kelly's job, and that's where UCLA went all in with Under Armour getting the buyout last week on Mora. And surprisingly, well executed for UCLA with a big-time splash. Iowa State, a new six-year deal for Matt Campbell with $22.5 million. Campbell's salary from $2.1 to $3.5 million. Jeremy Pruitt, a strong candidate for the Mississippi State job. Also, Brent Venables has interviewed for that. That is a couple of big-time coordinators. Let's listen about the SEC, though. And just how toxic and terrible it can be, not just from the Tennessee situation, but just you're being hired a lot of times to be fired in the SEC. And Bill Moose asked about Kevin Sumlin and his situation.
That SEC, they eat their young. And they, I don't care. Hey, I've said worse. And you just look at you know, the record of not giving a coach adequate time. There's no patience, and it's a great football conference. But you win eight games in that conference, and Kevin has done some other things. Had a Heisman Trophy winner, and you know, I wish him well. I think he's a real good coach and an excellent recruiter.
That's just on the SEC and Sumlin, but I think Dirk asked Moose about, you started kind of naming candidates off. All right, what, do you know Brett Bielema? What about the pig farmer?
Don't know him real well. Don't know a lot about him.
Dan Mullen?
Dan Mullen's a good coach. I served on a NC2A workforce with him. Was very impressed.
Chris Peterson,
I've known since he was all just about out of diapers. He was our receivers coach at Oregon before he went to Boise State and did all that. I think he's pretty happy where he's at. My old Cougars are going to give him a whipping today, but I think he's still going to be pretty happy there.
Now, truth be told, I wanted that to happen too. I wanted the Pirate to beat Washington. And it didn't happen. Oh, man. Washington's just done bad things to Washington State the last couple of years. So as a Nebraska fan with the next head coach coming in, you got a lot of fixing to do. And we'll look at Cut 14 here. The offense has some skill guys. The offense has some talent there. But you've noticed the inconsistency. You notice the sputtering with production. But the defense has been painful to watch.
Nebraska's been known for defense. We need to get the defense back. And I know this is an old cliche. Offenses fill the stadium. Defenses win championships. And when you're fortunate enough to have both, and Nebraska has had both many, many times, and five of them are right down by the elevator downstairs. And I force myself to go by those every day when I come to work.
He's talking about those championship defenses, Coach McBride, the architect of those, and that's going to be so key for Nebraska to get back with this next hire. Yes, the offense needs to be good, but the defense has to win. Let's spend a second here on style of play and offense. And we'll look at cuts 12 and 13 here, Danny. And, you know, style of play is well discussed. You talk to any coordinator, and they go bald and gray because of mobile quarterbacks. I mean, it's just extremely difficult.
I, for one, like a balanced attack, but I'm not the coach. I think you do need to run the ball. More importantly, I think you need to stop the run.
That's more to defense, but here's some further thoughts on that mobility you need. And to be honest with you, as good as Tanner Lee looked and as well as he was able to place some throws, and the kid was incredible under duress. I was riding in the car. I think it was with my brother this weekend, and we're talking. And, you know, we're just kind of talking about style of play and is Frost going to be the guy, and we both think Frost is going to be the guy, and you know, you get some Central Florida type offense in here and you smile about it because it's so explosive and so good. But I'm like, you know, Tanner Lee's never had like a run game or an offensive line ever anywhere he's been. Think how awesome he can be wherever he's at if he has those two things. Someone that can protect him consistently and someone that can run the football behind him. It's just something to chew on. So I'm not anti passing quarterback, but man, you know what dual threat mobile quarterbacks like a Deshaun, like an Andrew Luck can do, and Marcus Mariota. But Bill Moose said a lot Saturday, but I enjoyed specifically him talking about more of that offensive style and what you do on offense.
A dual threat quarterback that can stretch a defense. If you got a good one, it's near impossible to stop. And then you throw a little option in with that, a couple big tight ends, gifted receivers, and then let's get the black shirts back into being the black shirts.
He is so on it. And you look at what Bill Moose is, this guy is a communicator. He's confident. He is able to map out a plan through observation. He's not hasty. He's also patient. And he's pretty direct with this linear handling of when he was hired, how he assessed, when he decided a change was needed, and then the work and elbow grease that went on to get your ducks in a row to be in position to get Scott Frost. And he's transparent. He's not worried. Chris Peterson's awesome. He's happy. Dan Mullen, hey, I had a chance to hang out with Dan Mullen. He's now at Florida. Sumlin, awesome recruiter, really good coach. Let me tell you about Kevin Sumlin. He'll be at Arizona State, by the way. The Pirate, let's go down to Key West, baby. Flip-flops. And his unbashfulness to just praise Scott Frost, but be very cautious, too, of what's the reality. You're waiting a week to tell the world you've got that yes. We'll wind down on Monday on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Well, I just got a text from my brother during the commercial break, and it was great to see him this weekend and spend time with G-Unit. Garth was in town, and the whole talk and topic has been football, and Moose and Riley and Scott Frost, and that's been the kind of the trifecta there. And my brother's got a business meeting in the city of brotherly love. I don't know if he's going to go to get a cheesesteak anywhere or scout out, you know, what Dirk's been talking about, the area in Philly where Moose could have met with Frost's people in Philly for the Temple weekend. And Moose kind of just like, what? No, I was buying a condo, bro. But my brother's, I give him credit. He tried to work about every angle to get hooked up with seats, but he spent some of his own money. And he is behind one of the baskets for Philly and Cleveland tonight. So, I mean, he sent a picture. We just tweeted that out. We can all just be jealous of him seeing that Philly squad that's, you know, Simmons and company, a ton of fun to watch versus LeBron. And
it's a big game.
T. Lou, it's a big game. Yeah. And they're kind of, and you're kind of like, Danny's like, dude, your brother's all right, man.
Yeah.
He is.
Need to catch a game with him sometime.
No, I know. And he's like, yeah, can you call your buddy that works there to give me tickets? He's like, no, probably not, but you can. So Monday Night Football tonight, you'll hear that. We'll have Rick Pizzo tomorrow. We will run down Mitch Sherman on the coaching carousel. Can we hear what Finebaum had to say on this Tennessee situation? And, I mean, he's the expert down south. But just watching the – I mean, and this – I don't know that Nebraska would have gone full tilt, bat bleep crazy like Tennessee has. And if it's not Scott Frost, I guess we'll see. But Tennessee got a candidate. They hated them, and then they crucified the whole process of it.
You can blame it on a lot of things, but in the end, there's one person who's responsible for this program, and that is John Curry. He's been in the job about 9 months, and he took way too long to fire Butch Jones. He didn't give himself very much time. He's been turned down, obviously, by John Gruden, by Dan Mullen, and now his third or fourth or fifth choice, Greg Schiano. This thing blows up.
It did, and it's still on fire. And be glad you're not Tennessee. Be glad you're Nebraska. Be glad that you got Bill Moose running the show. Good stuff today. You miss any part of the show, you are absolutely welcome to log on to iTunes, the ESPN Lincoln app, or Hail Varsity for the podcast that'll be posted. Don't forget, it is Cyber Monday. So premium content from Hail Varsity. That's the forums. That's the excellent commentary and reporting from Greg Smith on recruiting, from Brandon Vogel, from Dr. Petey, from Jacob Padilla, from Mike Babcock, from our entire crew. The Cyber Monday special going on for just a buck. Can sign up for just a dollar for 30 days. Black Friday, now Cyber Monday. Love for you. If you've been hesitant to check out Hail Varsity or get involved with some of the premium options, wait no longer. Wait no longer. Cyber Monday special, HailVarsity.com. Get signed up. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks for your time. Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.